This message is entitled Redeemed from Hell. My name is Betty Stevens. This message is being given to the body of Christ and to all the churches nationwide, both locally and in the nations. I hope that you will have eyes to see, ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. This is a plea and a warning to the remnant people of God for the end times. It is April of 2008. Prior to that, I had received a revelation vision from the Most High God in the form of a time clock that was huge and ticking. At the time, I didn't really realize what it meant. But later on, when the Lord gave me the revelation, it was to mean that this is the time frame now for all of us, that time is running out. Time is short for the people of God. The kingdom of God is at hand, and God is getting ready to do a new thing. It is April of 2008 at 3 a.m. I was brought down into the pit, a pit that I didn't even know. I awoke, and there was total darkness around me. There were flames. There was heat. I didn't understand anything. What transpired was when the Lord Jesus Christ took me to the pit of hell. And there are just so many things that a person can say that you just don't know. You don't realize what goes on the other side. But I am here to tell you that hell is a real place. There are people going to hell even as we speak. I watch so many souls go. The Lord Jesus Christ walked me through so many scenarios. One of them was with a pastor who was in hell today. Why? At one time, she walked so very close to the Lord and knew the Lord God Almighty. Walked so much, had such revelation and such a relationship with God, but her husband got thrown in and followed the demonic realm. He fell into having an affair and committed adultery. And because of that, she could not forgive him. Although he did try and make amends with her, he asked her forgiveness. He made it right with the Lord. Still, the unforgiveness in her heart persisted. It left it open for Satan to attack. She's in hell today because of her unforgiveness. People, we have to understand that we look at the outside, but God looks at the heart. There's no room in hell for unforgiveness. There's so many dimensions and pockets of hell. Even as I was down there, I saw so many things. I smelt the sulfur, the heat, the demonic forces that are down there. And yet people are going there now. The body of Christ is going there. There are so many pastors and Christianity people that call themselves Christians. There is more down there than there are people that don't even know God. Body of Christ, you need to wake up. This is a severe warning from God. 1 Peter 4:17 tells us, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it is first beginning at us, what shall the end of it be, that they obey not the gospel of God?" In Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10, it says, "I, the Lord, searches the heart, try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And in Hebrews 9:27, it says, "As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Folks, this is a powerful two-edged sword message. And I know that most of you pastors won't like it. Why? Because you're not preaching the whole true word of God. You're leaving out parts. You're leaving out things that only God wants the people to know. Do you know how many times God preached about hell in the Bible? Over 400 times just in the New Testament. One of the scriptures that I read a lot of is in Revelation 3. about the Laodicea church, Revelation 3, 14 through 19. This is a very big one with God. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodicea writes, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, that beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Churches and pastors and leaders, repent is what you need to do. Repent because you don't preach the whole Word of God. Repent because you've quenched the Holy Spirit of God. Repent so that other people can see the life. God is trying to do a new thing here, and He's moving forward. And time is running out for the body of Christ. And we look at all the different things. There's a pastor that was in hell because he didn't preach the whole Word of God. He took away from. And the warning in Revelation tells you not to take anything out of the Bible, not to leave anything out, as well as not to add to. Church, you are in dire need of this warning. You are in dire need of chastisement and judgment for God. Please don't even think about me or anyone else, but of yourself. Look into your heart. Repent. Go up before God before it's too late. America needs to wake up. Because judgment is coming to the house of God, and it's going to cut as a two-edged sword. It is going to cut as a two-edged sword, just as this message does. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Again, the end time plea is to repent and turn yourself back to your first love. Do the things of the first love when you first loved God. Go back to the way it was in the early church. Repent, pastors, because God knows your heart. And if you don't repent and judgment comes, He will remove the candlestick, which means that He will close your doors. The final word, there's so much more. I also experienced what it's like to be eternally separated from God. When Jesus didn't walk with me, and He left me in the bottomless pit with the darkness and the demons and everything, and they knew when He'd left. And as I looked up, I smelt the sulfur. I saw the lake of fire, because as you go further into hell, it gets hotter. You don't see anything. It goes on and on and on, and there's no way back. There's so many people in there now that thought they would never go there because they were in their comfort zone. They were okay when they were here. They weren't seeking after God. They wanted the world, but they wanted a little bit of God. But when all knowledge is wiped from your mind and you don't know God, you don't even know you're a Christian and all hope is gone, then you get afraid. Then you have to wonder, what happens? What happens when that's all gone? Well, I can tell you, you're alone. You have no place to go, and everything's exposed for what it is. And Jesus looked up. And as He looked up and I saw His face, He was pointing to a large book. And as the tears rolled down His cheeks, He said, "These are the people that said they would serve and they would love me. And I'm going to judge everyone by this book, which is the Holy Bible." And He told me that I would know. And that this is a severe warning to all the churches and the body of Christ. Please take this seriously. This is an end time warning. Judgment is coming soon and there will be no escape. And I pray that you will listen because the Lord doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants them to come to Him. Hell was not intended for us, but by our own choices, we go there. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Get yourself right with God and repent. Repent, 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 because time is running out. Amen.
Hello, my name is Brother Patrick A. Kirk. The message this morning is titled, A Cry from the Father's Heart for Restoration of True Kingdom Order. We begin this morning in Ephesians chapter 4, reading verses 11 through 16. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Almighty God wants His people to be fully restored to the original divine order of His church today, back to the foundation that Jesus Christ Himself has laid and established in the first century church. This true foundation was and still is comprised of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers in direct accordance with Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, and Ephesians 1, 1 to 23, and Romans 1, 9 through 12. God is now in this hour requiring His church and His ministries today to return to the original foundation with all five branches of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to all be in place and be fully functional with each joint supplying as each member has need, as it is stated in Ephesians 4:16. God is sending the Holy Spirit with His great and holy fire to purify and to purge and to call His church today back to the original fivefold ministry as it was in the book of Acts, going from house to house. The role and the function of the apostles and the prophets have been avoided, ignored, and even kicked out of some of the churches and ministries in today's church because Jesus Christ is not their true, one and only supreme head. With great pathos and with deep earnestness, God is calling for three very important things. First, universal total repentance in all ministries and all churches. Acts 2:36 through 38, when Peter preached the first gospel sermon, and his hearers were pricked in their hearts, and they said, "Men and brother of Israel, what must we do?" And Peter's response was, "Repent, and be ye baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, that you may also receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And two, full return to Jesus Christ as our first love, and then to do the things that were done in the very beginning. I call your attention to Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. "Nevertheless, I have this against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou hast fallen. Repent, and do the first works that you did in the very beginning, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove the candlestick from out of its place, except that you repent. The churches and ministries of today who will embrace and allow the fivefold ministry to function will truly prosper in the blessings of God for His kingdom. Those churches and ministries who refuse to return and to function according to Jesus' divine order that He Himself established in the first century church will find themselves to be in raw rebellion toward this holy mandate of God. This is a command, a solemn warning, and a plea to all ministries and to all churches. Remember that rebellion is the beginning point for every sin. God hates rebellion because He regards it as witchcraft. We're told in Proverbs 6:16 through 19. Jesus Christ is the one and only true foundation, and He is also the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ is our great high teaching priest apostle who has been sent to all nations in all generations, and Jesus Christ is still today the one and only true supreme head of His church in this generation and in all generations. This message is a special message and a plea, a solemn plea and a solemn warning in the name of Christ Jesus, and is given for His eternal glory and honor, for the exhortation, edification, strengthening, encouragement, the admonishment and comforting of all the true sons of the kingdom of God in all generations, for your destiny consideration by you as churches and ministries before God toward His holy mandate to return to Jesus' divine order. As it was in the first century church, He wants that same order in the churches and the ministries today. In Malachi chapter 3 and in Micah 3, we are told that judgment is going to beginning first in the house of the Lord in this present hour. Well-known U.S. prophets are going to be first to be judged by the hand of God, because they, many of them, are serving the spirit of mammon, greed, and filthy lucre. These things God hates. Jesus said, you cannot serve mammon and God. He hates these things, and these things are coming down very soon and very hard. And He's going to expose it for what it really is. We dare not forget that 42% of the so-called born-again, spirit-filled Christians in America in this last national elections voted for Obama. The Bride of Christ in America already had the King of Kings, but like ancient Israel, America has clamored for a king. God's response was that He gave both Israel and America a Saul. Now the verdict is found in Amos chapter 5, verse 24, and God has said, let judgments come down as many rivers, and righteousness as many streams. In March of 2002, at 2:25 a.m. in the morning, the Holy Spirit woke me up out of a sound sleep, and He gave me the prophetic poem and a warning by the same title, The Cry of the Father's Heart for Restoration of True Kingdom Order. And this is what the prophetic revelation He gave me. Self should not be pampered nor seen in my true sons and my true daughters of Christ in this hour. Self is satanic ego lacking faith. Why do my children in America still want to preserve self? Self, by my scripture, is to be denied because that is my command. With great joy, lift up your heads and look unto me only. For I am and I will continue to be and to give you your true position in Christ. Diligently seek me with all your hearts, and I will be and I will give you godly worth, focus, purpose, vision, and your highest destiny in Jesus Christ, to which each of you have been called, prepared, separated, and have been made worthy because of the almighty power of the blood of Jesus Christ and because of His almighty name. If my Son Jesus Christ has redeemed you and has become your Lord. You must not allow self to reign in your hearts and lives in this present hour. You were, each one, bought with a supreme price. My Son, Jesus Christ, paid it all for you on Golgotha's Hill. Therefore, to honor me as the temple of the Holy Spirit, who now dwells inside of you, you must also glorify me in your body and in your spirit, both of which are mine as God Almighty, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Almighty God to all generations. To honor me in spirit and in truth, you also must be truly holy, even as I am holy. This too is my holy command in 1 Peter 1:15 through 16. You must in this hour submit to me in true humility and be fully willing to embrace and to receive me as the all-consuming fire to purge and to purify you and to make you holy through the almighty power of the blood of Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the consuming fire of the washing of the water of the Word of God in all generations. My true sons and my true daughters must also be well-trained, edified, corrected, healed, restored, to be battle-ready through the whole counsel of the Word of God with kingdom restoration in your lives. These things are now written and delivered to my kingdom people, so that each of you may know clearly that these are my chosen criteria to bring you all back to my original pattern. All of you must receive this original pattern as your very own, knowing that these criteria will bring you into full alignment with my heart as your Heavenly Father. You must be truly obedient instantly in and out of season. Listen diligently and intently for my voice that speaks in total truth and agape love, and through my Logos word and through the Rhema word that comes from my heart, with my holy leading, guiding, and directing of each of you into my kingdom purposes and my divine order, and into my highest destiny for each of your lives. Do not love your lives unto the death, even as it is stated in Revelation 12:11. The world must now see Jesus Christ in each of you, so that you will no longer need nor want to take the events or daily events of your personal lives with self being offended, even if things don't go your way. Each of you are very precious and highly honored in my sight, and you are greatly loved as my true sons and daughters of Christ, and I see you as my kings and priests unto me within my holy kingdom. Therefore, come quickly into my kingdom order and pattern as my end-time bride of Christ. Sadly, much heresy and apostasy have come into the ranks of the mainstream churches of America. They have denied many basic truths. The efficacy of the blood of Jesus Christ is being systematically removed from our churches and from the hymnals, and we are ordaining male and female homosexuals who are in direct violation with Genesis 19:1-29 and Romans 1:16-32. And we are ordaining them as ministers and as bishops and Episcopalian bishops. These things ought not to be. The rate of divorce in the pulpits is just as great as it is in the pews. And God is saying, the world looks at the church and the church looks at the world, and neither one can see any difference between the two. What is it, dear church, that would cause the lost and dying world to want to come into the ranks of your assembly when you're not much different from they? God is calling for a total purity and a total transparency, vertically toward Him and then toward each other, because these are two important relationship building blocks in the kingdom of God that will build trust and will build a covenant-keeping spirit amongst us. The time is coming when the persecutions are going to be upon us. And if you're not building relationships you're missing the point of God in this present hour. Because when the persecutions come, you want to know that when you're standing shoulder to shoulder and elbow to elbow, and you interlock the shield of faith with your brother and your sister in Christ, when the commander-in-chief gives the command to move forward, you want to be sure that the person on your left and the person on your right can be trusted. And so the time to build those relationships for the kingdom of God is now. We cannot afford to wait to try to build relationships when we're in the midst of persecution. Persecution will come to us in the great United States of America. It will come in the form of three prongs. Number one will be through the government when they declare martial law. The next one will be through the mainstream churches, which will represent the Church of Babylon, who will not come into the divine order of the first century church, and as Jesus established it himself. And the third prong will represent through homosexual groups, those who advocate homosexuality. Those, dear church, will be the means by which the enemy will persecute us in this nation. But the message of God is replete, that the enemy's time is short and his doom is sure. And we have read the end of the book, and we know how it comes out. We in the church win when we are in obedience to the mandates of God, and when we're pressing in and we're pushing through as God chasers, as those who are passionate for the risen Lord Jesus Christ. The time is coming when we will have no other option except to remember that the first century church, they gained their victory through suffering. And the book of Revelation tells us that they gained their victory over Satan and the kingdom of darkness by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. The time is coming, dear church, when we will have to stand, and when we've done all to stand, we must continue to stand in the unity of the Spirit of the living God in Christ Jesus. Without Him, we can do nothing, but with Him, all things are possible. In the midst of our weakness, He is made strong. Therefore, the time is coming when the fivefold ministry must come to the forefront and be restored to those of us in this generation. The time has come when we must repent. We must return to our first love. And we dare not ignore this solemn warning and solemn plea, because it's coming with the Father's heart throbbing with pathos, and in desperation, He wants us to come back and repent before it's too late. Now, dear church, we must hear the voice of the Father, the voice of the Son, and the voice of the Spirit of the living God as He reaches out with His arms of love, and He declares that He wants to be intimate with us. Intimacy with Jesus Christ, the Bridegroom of Heaven. This is yet another prophetic revelation that was given to me on March the 23rd of 1999 at 2 a.m. in the morning. Once again, I was awakened out of a sound sleep, and these are the words He told me to write. Worldly cares and preoccupations of life continue to overflow and to crowd you out and to keep you from having intimacy with me as your bridegroom. Seek me, O men of God, and learn from me. Constantly press in toward the heavenly prize to which you have been called in Christ Jesus. Like beautiful and colorful flowers, I desire to see you in full bloom. Come into my holy chamber without delay. Plummet the deepest places of the full and the complete knowledge of me. Let there be a sweet and total abandonment of self as you humble yourselves before me. And without ceasing, begin now to pray. Submit yourselves, therefore, to me, to my holy venue, and to all of my authority. Love me with all your hearts, minds, souls, and strength. Conform no longer to the patterns of this present world. And bathe yourselves in my agape love that has no end to its length. Give me all of you as my divine and everlasting wings of love are around you are now curled. From you, in all of your motives and in every intent of your hearts, I desire and require today before me prideless purity. Into every realm of clean and unswerving integrity, from the inside out, I yearn for you to possess all these things with true holiness and absolute clarity in Christ Jesus. Do not allow complacency, compromise, apathy, or the lack of submission to my perfect will to prevent you and the other sheep from receiving my greatest blessings in time and in eternity. On February the 6th of 2010, the Holy Spirit gave me His mandate for us in this generation and the generations that will follow. The first century church, in accordance with Jesus' own declaration, in Luke 17:21, He told His disciples, "You are the kingdom." And as the kingdom of God, they functioned under His divine order, which included the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. If the fivefold ministry and biblical pattern of the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers is not embraced and fully accepted by the mainstream of the churches and ministries today, then we are already, dear church, in full-blown rebellion against the King of Kings and His kingdom in this present hour. Full acceptance of the kingdom pattern in the fivefold ministry requires that every person who claims the name of Jesus Christ must permit the fivefold ministry to be in place and totally function, as it was in the first century church, by the Spirit of the living God, so that it may fulfill and benefit the needs of all the members. If the churches refuse to allow the fivefold ministry to be in place and functional, as it was in the first century, then the churches are distinctly in rebellion against God and His kingdom, and the only spiritual option available to them will be to be chastised, to receive a Holy Spirit spanking, and perhaps even judgment. Let us not forget that rebellion is an abomination before God. Rebellion is as witchcraft, and He hates it. We no longer can afford to see ourselves as being only in the church age. We are resoundingly in the age of the kingdom of Almighty God and His dear Son, Jesus Christ. And we must all have a true kingdom mindset and kingdom heart of the Heavenly Father, in step with God's plans and His destiny for us in His kingdom. The time has come, dear church, where we have to be about our Heavenly Father's business, where we are loving all souls and hating all sin. It is totally inconsistent for the bride of Christ to be practicing sin in any form, because any sin, large or small, gray or black, it all starts in one area, and that area is rebellion. The Bible teaches us that when you are in rebellion, you are a double-minded man or woman, and you are unstable in all your ways, and that you should expect nothing from God. And so, dear church, in this hour, the message coming to you and to me and to everyone in all the nations is to repent. Come back to your first love. Do the things that were done in the very beginning, and then watch the hand of God move you forward in your kingdom destiny. By the power of the Most High God, receive the message He's delivering this day.
Hello, this is John Stevens, and the Lord has moved upon my heart to write a book and to give a message to the body of Christ. In Jeremiah 18, God spoke through Jeremiah for the judgment of Israel. Unless Israel would repent, judgment would surely come upon them. So we serve a great God, but He has to perform His word. He says that if you don't repent of your sins, you will die in your sins and go to hell, because Hell was created for the devil and his angels, and it wasn't meant for human beings to be there. But by Satan's own choice and all the demons' choice, they chose to go there, and all people that want to rebel against God. God don't wish that any should perish, but all come to repentance. The word says, deep calls unto deep, and God is always calling into the very depths of our hearts. He loves us so much, from Genesis to Revelation, you can find out in there that he was wanting to rescue his creation from a pit of hell for all eternity. What I have to ask you now is, where do you want to spend eternity? Do you want to take all the wonderful gifts and promises and Word of God that he so clearly gives us and be with him in heaven for all eternity? Or do you want to rebel against God and go to hell for eternity? All you have to do to go to hell is just don't do anything. Because if you think you're good enough, well, there's a road called good intentions that lead to hell. So you really don't even have to do anything to end up there. Jesus spoke over 420 times about hell, more than he did about heaven. And why? Because he wants to warn his creation. He created each and every one of us uniquely. He don't want anyone to go to hell. It says he don't wish that any should perish, but come to repentance. In Mark 12:15, it says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. That's a direct invitation from Jesus Christ to repent, turn completely around your thinking to God and away from hell. There's a road that we're all on when we're born, and it does lead to hell. But there's also another road on to the right that leads to heaven. And Jesus' cross is there with his blood. And all we have to do is accept what Jesus did on the cross. And a lot of people say, well, why does that die? Why did he die on the cross for me? He took all of your sins in his body, the Bible says. And the full wrath of God for your sins. And you're going to tell me you're not going to accept a wonderful gift like that? That would be crazy not to do that. And you'd be in full rebellion going to hell if you didn't accept that. He did it all from Genesis to Revelation so that he could reach out to his creation and has always provided a redemptive way back to him, which is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Accept what he did on the cross, and the Lord will cleanse all of your sins away. And the church has fell away over the years since the early church. And Jesus is the fivefold ministry. He was the great apostle and priest of our faith, according to Hebrews 3:1. He was the greatest prophet that ever lived, because Moses spoke of him, and so did all the disciples, that there would be one like as unto I. And that was a great prophet, Moses was. But he wrote of him, all the disciples knew about it, and they told everybody the great news that the great prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, had arrived. Evangelist, he said that the anointing of the Lord is upon me to speak the gospel, to set the captives free. As a pastor, he was the great shepherd. He said, there's no greater shepherd than I, because I lay down my life for the sheep. As a teacher, there was no greater teacher. When he was 12 years old in the temple, he sat there and told them things and asked questions that was beyond their understanding, because he was the greatest teacher that ever lived. John sent his disciples and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, and pointed for them to go to him. And they said, teacher, and he said, what do you want of me? Where are you staying? And he said, come, I'll show you. So the scripture clearly states that Jesus is the teacher and pastor and evangelist and prophet and apostle. He's right there in heaven at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us as the fivefold ministry, as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit displayed in his human body. And what purpose did he do that? For the perfecting of the saints and equipping the saints. In 1 John it says, if you say that you don't sin, you have deceived yourself. You're lying to yourself. And you're making him a liar. Because it says in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light of God's truth, that we have fellowship with Jesus Christ, and his precious blood cleanses us from all sins. So see, you have God's word on it right there. So there's no excuse to choose to go to hell. Unless you choose to go to hell, you have an alternative, and God provides it all. And some of the things I've seen diminish over the years since the early church, with the apostles going from house to house, and the apostles strengthening and encouraging the Christians, and also they would impart gifts and teachings and anointings as the Holy Spirit willed through them. Some of the things I've seen that has diminished over the years is the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the word of miracles. Salvation is almost non-existent. Repentance, tongues and interpretation of tongues, feet washing, true care of each other and the saints and the body of Christ, the full counsel of God. Because I heard a pastor the other day preach about a message on the rest of God, saying that, well, we'll have the rest of God in the by and by. And then that's not true, because in Hebrews 4, it clearly, in context, says that the people of Israel that rebelled against God died in the wilderness because they would not enter that rest. And that rest is for now. It was for then, and it's for now. And you can enter that rest now. So see, we see just a little snippet of the false teachings out there that God is coming against now. That's why he's restoring us, and with his holy fire, he's burning out anything that's not of him and not of this fivefold first century ministry that he establishes, and he's continuously establishing that in heaven now at the right hand of the Father. Where we're positioned with Christ now is that we have been raised up in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of the Father. So that means we're in the third heaven, and we can crush Satan or anyone that's in those other two heavens and get them out of our way, and we can create an open heaven by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and through him, and we can walk in that every day. And we can still have the things that were destroyed and cast off. In the churches today, we see that the apostles have either been ignored or kicked out. We see that the prophets have been laughed at and assumed that they were false, because there has been false ones in the past. But that's wrong, because now they've canceled out the real true prophets of God that hears directly from him. And that's what the Bible defines a prophet as, hearing directly from God. An apostle, where they are sent. Because Jesus was an apostle that was sent. He said, I came down from heaven to do the will of the Father. So these people in these churches today has diminished that. They've pretty much done away with the evangelist. They'll have him coming in once in a great while. They have pastors there and teachers, and that's even diminishing as we see it. And God wants all this restored. The Holy Spirit is restoring, and his holy fire is burning out anything that isn't of God. God don't wish that any should perish, but come to repentance and have a close relationship with him, because the Bible says, deep calls unto deep. And it also says that when we draw close to God, that God will draw close to us in the book of James. But see, people are just doing a lot of talking and not doing any walking, and it takes both. The Bible says the walk. That means in James, it says that faith without works is dead. So we are to walk out our faith. And also that if we are just talking and not walking, then we're double-minded. And we should not expect anything from God except chastisement and judgment. But you see, God does not want that. He warns us so that we don't make those wrong choices. He wants us to come to repentance. He wants us to be with him. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So you see, God gives us that power of choice, knowing that we could choose to go to hell and burn forever for our sins, if that's what we chose to do. Or we could take the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, where the full wrath of God was laid upon him, so we wouldn't have to take it. All we have to do is say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I accept what you did on the cross for me so that I wouldn't have to go to hell or be apart from you. And save me, and then make my life good the way you want it to be, in Jesus' name. If you pray that prayer and really mean it in your heart, and you've turned from the old ways of this rebellious world and rebellion directly against God, then God can make your life pure and good, and he will enable you and give you the strength to live a holy life. We can't do it in and of ourselves in our own strength, but we can do it with God's provision of his word, his anointings, his enablements, and his power. Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power when that the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses unto Jerusalem and Judea and unto the othermost parts of the earth. And those that had been saved and received the Holy Spirit said the Holy Spirit filled them and gave them the ability to speak in other tongues as an evidence of his infilling. And the clothes of fire was upon them as a sign to show that the Holy Spirit had filled them and gave them the ability to utter and speak in an unknown tongue so that they could communicate directly with God and have an intimate and close relationship with him. And that's what God's calling now, is for intimacy with him. He's working through the house churches now like we've never seen before. The big ministries and churches are coming down that are in rebellion against God, and we'll see it. So only God knows in their heart, you know, if they're really obeying him or not. And we'll see the evidence of it when it actually happens. And the ones that will stay up, God will establish and bring into his perfect will for our lives.
Hello, this is Sister Betty again. With everything that has been said on this CD, we just hope that you will receive it into your spirit. Brother Patrick has a book coming out. Also, Brother John has a book coming out. I believe they mentioned it in the first part of their message. I also have a book coming out, which I mentioned. If you'd like any further information about the CD, how to obtain one, anything about when the books will be released, you can contact one of us right now at VVMINT. That's www.vvmint.webs.com, and one of us will get back with you. That's the church website. And if you need salvation, please just ask God to forgive your sins and go into his holy place, because he doesn't want anyone to perish. Thank you for listening to this CD, and amen. And we're going to now blow the shofar. We thank God today for everyone that has been saved, and for those who have not, we will pray for you. Amen.